Now, motor neurone disease is one of a very few diseases that doesn't have generally the best of outcomes, where people talk about cancer, people talk about MND, as it's known, and there's research done into some of it with varying degrees of success. Somebody that's just fairly recently had a diagnosis for MND is Stephen Moore, and he joins me now. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Morning, Tony.
Dare I ask, how are you today?
Oh, I'm not too bad. I'm fighting on. That's the main thing. Keep a positive mind and keep going.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those things that, you have to fight.
You do. Yes, you have to be optimistic all the time.
Yeah. For those that are not sure, because I mean, there are a couple of famous people that have actually had the misfortune of a diagnosis of MND, one being Stephen Hawking, the other being the Leeds Rhino rugby player, Rob Burrow. What is MND?
Well, it's a horrible disease, really, that affects the motor neurons that carry the signals from your brain to your muscles. It's a breakdown of those, like the little transporter systems, really, mm-hmm. that transfer the signals through your body to operate your muscles. And it's those motor neurons that actually die off. It's a death of motor neurons, basically, through your body.
Is there any known cause for this?
Nobody knows. No, there's been various attempts to find a cure, obviously, and to find a cause for it, even. But as yet, nobody knows anything, which is a bit sad in this day and age. That there isn't anything out there.
I mean, I mentioned in my preamble there a little bit about cancer, and of course, it's the one disease that many people, rightly fear, because there are so many different variants of it, but the advances made in research and treatments has come on leaps and bounds in the last few years. If you talk to medical professionals these days, whilst cancer is not a thing you want, it's something that is becoming much, much more treatable and survivable. Can't say the same thing for MND.
No, that is the problem. In the past, there hasn't been enough research done on it. And in fact, relatively few people actually get it. There are only about 55, I think, in the whole of East Sussex, yeah. 120 in the whole of Sussex, and only about 5,000 in the whole country. So the research has been sort of on the back burner, really. Mm. Money's gone, obviously, into diseases that affect more people, like various cancers that are around.
Well, yeah, I mean, 5,000 people is not a small number, whichever way you want to look at it. The problem, of course, with it is that people only really get serious about fundraising or research into these things when they're affected by it. I mean, you've got some fundraising going on, which we're going to come to in a fairly short while, but there aren't enough of you to actually raise enough to get some really big league research going, is there?
This is the problem, really, and it has been overlooked in the past. You know, it's been one of those diseases that's been obviously people know about, but it's one of those things that, as I say, it's quite rare, and most people think, "Oh, it'll never happen to me," but when it does, obviously, it's a big blow, and. And we're doing all we can to raise funds to ourselves to go into research and also into care for people who are suffering with it in the county.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things I've been doing a little bit of reading up on this since we first had a conversation about this, and say the most famous person known to have had this disease is Stephen Hawking. Now, he lived for about 50 years, I do believe, with a diagnosis, just over 50 years. There are two parts to this, really. One, how did he manage to do that, to live that long with a disease that is given a life expectancy of anything from 12 months to 36 months? I mean, it's extraordinary. Are the researchers right, or is progress being made?
I think the thing with this disease is that it affects everybody in different ways. There's no hard and fast rule that you will live for 5 years or 3 years, whatever. Everybody is so different, and this is the thing that it actually mystifies the scientists, I think.
Yeah.
That there is no hard and fast rule, and it depends a lot on your mental attitude, I think, how you survive, whether you are a positive person or a negative person, and what you how you live your life. I must admit, I'm a bit of a fighter. I've always fought for everything I've had in my life. I have good stamina, and I plan to be around for a few more years.
Well, that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful to hear. Now, to take this on a stage further, I know you're very, very active, and I know that you actually run a nursery in Sussex. But you've not had this disease for very long. How did it happen in you? How did you work out that there was something wrong?
Well, it was last September, which is obviously almost a year ago now. I started getting a bit clumsy with my left foot. In fact, my big toe kept catching the ground, especially going downhill, which was a bit strange. And then I noticed that my knee got a bit stiff. So I went to the doctors and they gave me various tests. I had a couple of MRI scans done on my spine because they thought it was a spinal issue at first. Having dismissed that, the neurologist got a hold of it, and by the end of April, I had my proper diagnosis.
So it took about 7 months, 7 or 8 months to get the diagnosis.
Yeah, from September to April to get the diagnosis.
And just as a thought, how had the disease advanced in those 8 months while you were getting a diagnosis? Because you said it started out with your big toe dragging on the ground.
That's right. I felt a bit clumsy, I must say, in those early months, but I was still able to walk 5 miles without a stick and up on the downs, and I didn't have any particular issues, really. I was just a little bit clumsy, but I coped with it.
Yeah.
I was limping quite badly by Christmas time.
Yeah.
By February, I was using a hiking stick. And then by April, I was using a crutch or two crutches. By sort of June, I suppose, I was using a rollator, which is, a tripod on wheels, basically, to get me around. Yeah.
Mm. So, I mean, it's not exactly a slow advancing thing that you've experienced to this date. I mean, how is it now for you?
Now I am quite stiff. I do my exercises. I'm quite thorough with my exercises. As soon as I'm up in the morning, I have one of these exercise bands I put around my legs to pull my legs apart. I do various sort of stepping exercises, up and down steps, and I go to the gym twice a week, where I have a special trainer. I go water wading, which helps me. I can't swim anymore, but I can wade around in the water, which
sounds like fun.
Makes me feel like a normal person, really. I can get about quite easily. The only trouble is getting out. You feel like lead again afterwards. If I could live my life in water, I'd be fine, I'm sure.
They should get a ramp, I think, for that one. I remember getting out of a swimming pool for the ordinary person is quite difficult as well, so I shouldn't worry too much. Actually sound remarkably upbeat about all of this.
You've got to be, really. I think
that's all in the mind, isn't it?
It is, yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, I'm not able to do the things I used to do, which is a bit depressing. I can't go on my long walks anymore. I can't do the work I used to do on the nursery. But I can still get to the nursery. I can still talk to people, give them advice, and I can serve the customers and do the a certain amount of potting and some sort of basic sort of label work, etc.
Yeah.
But I do miss the walking more than anything, because I used to love walking.
Yeah.
And I can't drive anymore either, which is also a bit of a blow.
Oh, that's that's very difficult these days.
Petrol these days, I have lifts everywhere, so it's quite.
Take the positive from that. You're being green.
Exactly. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
You're
right.
Being green. There's a positive
to that. Nothing to run.
How does it? I mean, what does it mean to the people around you? Not just immediate family, but friends and that. Is there a reaction different, or are they very positive about it? and thinking we've got to get something going to actually get some support and research in.
Yeah, that's right, definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of, they're very supportive. All my friends and family are very supportive. They'll do anything for me, really. And it's just wonderful, really. A lot of our customers have been coming in, giving up their time to help us on the nursery, just to be there to support me, which is absolutely remarkable, really.
Yeah,
so the, very, very grateful.
Yeah, the kindness of people. The kindness of people.
It just shows you there's more good out there than bad.
I think there most certainly is. Now, a little while earlier on, we were talking, and while we were talking, I heard a little whine going on, and I can think that's a canine whine. I know you have a little terrier by the name of Crunchy.
We do, yes. Yeah. Nursery dog.
That was Crunchy. That was Crunchy, sort of whining. I want to go and see my dad.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
She wants to have a word, I think. Yeah, she's a wonderful little dog, and she's been raising a lot of money this month through sponsorship.
Yeah.
Running and walking 60 miles through August. She's been doing roughly 2 miles a day. And she's so far raised about £1,500.
Wow.
She's pretty remarkable for a little dog.
It is. And how is she doing this? How is she doing the walk? Is it just around the nursery?
Mainly around the nursery, but there are other sort of stretches she has around and other walks, which Morag takes her on.
I'll tell you what, if you get a little pedometer for her, you'll probably find she's walking more than you think she is.
She probably is. She's got small feet, after all.
Yeah. might be interesting. Anybody wanting to sort of sponsor Crunchy, how can they do so? Because this is just the start of some fundraising, I'm guessing.
Yes, well, you can go to the link on our Facebook page.
Or Instagram.
Mm. And go from there and follow the instructions from there. Or send it to our nursery direct. We've had a few people sending in checks as well.
Or
just coming in with cash, which is wonderful, really.
Without sort of prying too far, have you any idea of what's likely to be the case for you in the next sort of 12 months or so?
For me, I plan to carry on just as I am, really. Keep on with the exercising and do all I can to keep myself mobile, as mobile as possible anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've also got the association, the Motor Neurone Disease Association, trying their best to get some research done. But again, I'm guessing... like a lot of these types of things, they're very tight for money. Are there many events going on that people can get involved in to try and raise awareness and raise some money?
Any events going around at the moment? Well, there's various sort of walking and running events going on with the through the MNDA going on at the moment.
Yeah.
And in fact, Crunchy is actually part of the organisation of running 60 miles. Through
big
August,
event,
it's a big event going on at the moment, and they've raised about 100,000 pounds already collectively.
I can hear Mrs. Moore in the background. Hello, Mrs. Moore.
Yes, she's prompting me.
She's a good prompt. I could do with one of those actually. But
yes, it's handy,
very handy indeed. Sorry, carry on.
A couple of months ago, in fact, my cousin opened his garden for the Motor Neurone Disease Association, and. It was the last rainy day, in fact. It was a wet morning anyway. We had about 300 people arrive, and we raised about £4,000 on the day.
Wow.
Just through opening that one day.
Yeah.
In fact, the people were so generous. They're mostly friends, customers, and various contacts. I knew everybody. It was like a party.
Oh, and, wonderful.
And it had a real wonderful, upbeat feeling about it. And since then, donations have carried on coming in, and now the total is over 6,500 now.
Yeah.
So that's
truly wonderful. I take my hat off to anybody that can actually get this sort of thing done.
Yes.
Question on all of this. I know that there are lots of people, or there are people out there trying to find a way to deal better with this, to get better outcomes and that. How far off do you think some of these ends are?
Well, hopefully in the autumn there will be some more the research will step up. I've been told that I might be able to go on a trial once we get into autumn using new drugs.
Yeah.
So There is a positive side to it, if this works out. The COVID years, of course, put pay to a lot of the research. They, in fact, they lost over 2 years because of the problems with the, with the COVID issue. But hopefully, you know, things will start to get a little bit better now. I'm seeing my neurologist shortly, and hopefully he'll be able to put me in the right direction for the future. I'm really hoping that I can be a part of a nationwide study into the use of new drugs.
I tell you, I'm inspired just listening to you, how upbeat and optimistic you are with something that for most people would be absolutely shattering. So I take my hat off to you. I've got to say hello to Crunchy, because she's bless her, she's been sort of raising money, and
she's sitting here wagging her tail.
That itself is wonderful. For now, I think we've gone about as far as we can. We're talking about the MNDA Association. It is mndassociation.org for anybody that wants more information about the disease, and also if they want to find out a little bit more about Crunchy, go to your Facebook page, which is it Rapkins Nursery?
Rapkins Nursery. Rapkins with a Y in it. Rapkyns.
Okay.
Rapkins Nursery. Yes.
Well, that's wonderful.
And then,
look,
then you can go from there.
Long may you continue to run the nursery. Long may you continue to fight this terrible, terrible thing.
Keep
the enthusiasm up, because I say it's inspiring. But for now, Stephen Moore, thank you for talking to us.
No, thank you, Tony. All the best to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.